Can't make you do it, but in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand as an act of faith. I'm going to ask you to take your right hand and squeeze it in a fist and your left hand and hold it to your mind like this. I'm going to pray over you. I'll tell you why. We know physiologically that when we hold a clenched fist, we are more open to remember what we receive. I'm going to pray over your mind because the Holy Spirit has the ability to open our mind and allow us to understand things that our flesh would never be able to understand. And so if you are willing this morning, if you are open, and you are wanting to receive the divine things, things of the kingdom, I want to invite you to stand. If you would take your right hand and clench it, you put your left hand, just put it to your head. And I want to pray over you this morning. Father, I want to thank you today that you have not left us powerless in this world, but you have given us divine weaponry in order for us to walk in victory in the world, but not of it. And so I thank you for every person here this morning. I thank you that you have prepared their hearts and minds. This morning, Holy Spirit, I declare a grace over them. Their mind would be open to grasp the things of the kingdom. And today, revelation would come that would bring change in their lives. Father, we are here ready to receive. We are hungry. I declare our hearts are good soil. The seed that will be sown will be planted. It will gain root and it will bear fruit. I declare victory in this place today. In the name of Jesus, I ask for a fresh infilling. Holy Spirit, would you take literal possession of my mind and my mouth? I only want to say what I hear you say and do what I see you do. And with the authority you've given, in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird. I command you to be silent and release every person to be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. Father, this morning you are going to speak. Not just through my mouth. You are going to speak. And your children will hear your voice. Let them capture it. And let them be obedient to it. We believe a single word from you can change everything. And so by faith, we say thank you for what's going to happen this morning in the powerful and the beautiful name of Jesus. And everybody receiving said, amen. Please be seated. I just want to reiterate what I shared with you a number of Sundays ago. Over this next period of time, I just want to tell you flat out, we are not going to be a seeker-sensitive church. We are going to be a church that takes saints and equips saints in order to walk in victory in the days that we are in. I am at this point in my life, I'm not about making people comfortable. I'm not about watering it down in order for people to be more open. And I'm not about that. I'll tell you, there's such a conviction on me to take the believer, to walk them into freedom, and to have them step into maturity. That is where I'm at today. And so just when you leave here today, if you have friends looking for a seeker-sensitive church, encourage them to go somewhere else. If you're looking for friends who want to grow and step out of their comfort zone, if they want to be more like Christ, walk in power, walk in victory, then maybe invite them and just say, when you come here, it may not be comfortable, but it may be life-changing. And so I'm just telling you straight up, church. And I just want to say, I want to bless you, church. You are a church that is open. You are a church that is hungry. You are a church that's not looking for fluff. You are a church that wants to get into the Word, and you want to be more than just going through the motions. You want to be a force in this world to be reckoned with. And so I'll tell you, I bless you for that. Last number of weeks since Resurrection Sunday, we have been talking about and looking at the 50 days after Jesus walked out of the tomb, after his being crucified, spending 3 days in the tomb, the stone rolled away, and he walked out of the tomb. Not only very much alive, but he walked out of it with an immortal body, meaning he would never die again, living forever. And what he did during that 50 days, we talked about that for the first 40 days on earth. He had a major goal during that period of time. Specific purpose was this: moving his disciples and followers from unbelief to believing. And can I just tell you, he's still at work in the church doing the same, moving his followers from unbelief to believing. And much of that's going to happen today. And then we talked about when he left, At the end of that 40 days, we call it Pentecost, his departure, he ascended into heaven. We looked at what happened right before that, what happened during that, and what happened after that, and the impact that had on his followers. And then 10 days later on Pentecost, we looked at fulfillment of what Jesus had told them. He said, when I go, I'm going to send the promised Holy Spirit, and he will not only be with you, but will be in you. And when he comes, you will receive divine power, the same power that was in me when I lived on earth. You will receive that. It's been a couple of Sundays, and so I want to paint the picture again that the Lord gave us to look at to understand what the Holy Spirit has done. And by now you know, if I mentioned to you, and I mentioned to many of you throughout the week, and you mentioned it to me, the whole life jacket, I've said to countless people this week, I said, you got your life jacket on? And people go, oh yeah. Or they go, oh, I forgot about that. Or they go, yes, I put it on this morning. Let me just give it to you quick. The whole picture that when God created Adam and Eve and he breathed his spirit into them, he filled them with his life and his power. We used the life jacket to do that. They had it on. The moment they fell and sinned, God said, if you sinned, you will die. Well, they didn't die physically. What happened is the life jacket came off. The Holy Spirit moved from the inside to the outside. And for 4,000 years, all that happened is that believers, and this is the right hat, by the way, the believers had the Holy Spirit on them, but not in them. When Jesus came, Jesus at his baptism, John the Baptist was told, you will know who the Messiah is because you're going to see the Holy Spirit come down on him. And when it remains on him and fills him, that is the person who is the Messiah. And at the beginning of his ministry, Holy Spirit came, filled Jesus, and he had a life jacket on. We have been talking, and the name of this series is called The Power Package. And by the end of this, I am praying that as we go through this list, and it's going to be a number of Sundays, yes, there's going to be 18 or 20 things that I give you, and it's not going to be exhaustive. But I'm believing that we're going to get a revelation that when we have Holy Spirit in us and on us in that life jacket form, we are going to know and have a revelation of what can happen in and through our life. Last couple of weeks, we gave you four things. I'm going to have James shoot them up on the screen. I'm just going to mention them to get them. If you have not heard these, I encourage you to go back and have a look at them. When the Holy Spirit came on Jesus, it empowered him. We know that at Pentecost, the same Spirit came on the disciples, empowered them. The early church, when they got filled with the Spirit, empowered them. And believers all down through time who have been filled with the Spirit of God have been empowered in the same way by Holy Spirit. We began looking at a few things. Number one, when Holy Spirit came on them, he gave them power to hear the voice of God with clarity. And we talked about how that has been one of the biggest struggles that people have had, going, I can't hear God's voice. I don't know if it's him. Some people who go, I have never heard God's voice. Non-believers, I expect that. Believers, why should we struggle? When Holy Spirit comes, he gives us the power to hear the voice with clarity. Number two, he gives us the power to distinguish between all the voices that are going on in our minds, and we can determine if it's God's voice or a stranger's voice. And we talked about that at length, the ability to distinguish and to know. If we know the stranger's voice, we do not follow. If we don't know it, we follow. The third one is this. He gives us the power to believe the Father's words. And I want to say this again just to get it into you. The greatest power that God gives you and I is the power to choose whose words we believe. That is the greatest power. The power to believe. I remember Neil Anderson made a comment. He goes, some people go, well, I want to believe, but I just can't. He goes, that's a lie from the pit of hell. God has given you the power to believe. We just need to exercise that. And number four, the power to be obedient. And again, we looked at the life of Jesus when he was baptized. The Father said to him, Jesus, I want you to go in the desert and fast for 40 days. Jesus knew it was the Father. He distinguished between the enemy and the Father's voice. He believed the words. And what did he do? He went to the wilderness for 40 days. Today, we're going to carry on from there, looking at what Jesus experienced when he got into the desert and completed his 40 days. Can anybody tell me, at the end of the 40 days, Jesus had to face something at the end of that 40-day period of time? Did anybody know, at the end of that 40 days, what it was that Jesus had to face? What was it? What was it? The temptation. At the end of that 40 days, temptation. I want to just say this to you because I don't know that this is clear. Can I just tell you that everything you are tempted to do will lead to sin? You will never be tempted to do something right. Let me give you an example. You're driving down the road and the speed limit is 100 kilometers an hour. And the thought enters your mind, gee, I'm tempted to go 100 here. We have never had a temptation to go 100 kilometers an hour. The temptation comes that goes, you can go 109 and the cops won't stop you. Has anybody ever had that? Yeah, don't raise your hand because we're all lying if we don't. The temptation is always to do something wrong. I love this one. When the Lord said it to me, he goes, call. He goes, have you ever been tempted to tithe? Oh, I'm just feeling this morning we need to give 10% of our income to the Lord. I'm just feeling tempted to do that. Sweetheart, would you pray for me? I got to resist that temptation. You will never be tempted to do what is right. The temptation will come to go, you know what? At the end of this month, we got major bills. We can't afford to give. So today, just what's in your pocket, sweetheart? $3? Let's just give that today. You will never, we will never be tempted to do what is right. At the end of that period of time, that 40 days, Jesus was tempted. But I want to show you something. I want to show you before, because I just want to get it in you. Got to plant the picture so that it is in your head. You have seen this before, but I got to put it in there again. Here is zero power level. Here is flesh power. Here is demonic power. And way up there is God's power. I just want to plant that inside of you, and I want this to be incredibly clear, because as we begin talking about this, and I want you to think about this, when we are tempted by the enemy to do something, if all we are using is flesh power, I will tell you this straight up, there will be no victory in our life. The enemy uses demonic power to work with our flesh in order to gratify the desire of our flesh. I want you to understand clearly, the demonic power is always greater than our flesh power. Always. If we are trying to defeat something of the enemy, the demonic power with our flesh, we will never win because it is a greater power. There is only one power that has the ability to overcome flesh and the demonic, and this is it. We're going to talk about that at length. If there's a title of this message, it's going to be Overcoming Temptation. You can just write that at the top of your page. But I want us to look at what Holy Spirit did for Jesus when he entered the wilderness. Would you turn? I'd like you to set your eyes on Luke chapter 4. I want to read just a few verses. I want you to see it, and then we're going to dissect it. Luke chapter 4. This is the account of Jesus going to the wilderness and then the temptation. Just the first three verses. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, and we're going to just stop right there for a moment. I want you to understand, looking at those first four, when Jesus was in the wilderness, the first thing when the enemy spoke to him, he knew it was the enemy. He was able to discern, I'm hearing from the enemy, turn that rock into bread. He heard it and he knew. And we don't have to go through the rest of it. We'll look at that in a second. But I would like you to write down number 5, and we're going to carry on with a few. Number 5, this is when the life jacket of the Holy Spirit is on us. Number 5, he gives us the power to control our flesh. He gives us the power to control our flesh. In verse 2, it says he ate nothing during the 40 days, and at the end of that 40 days, he was hungry. Can I ask you a question? Are any of us shocked that after 40 days of fasting, he was hungry? Anybody shocked about that? I won't ask you if you fasted 40 days. There are some people who believe if they missed a day, they would die. Can I just tell you, there's enough reserve on most of us, we wouldn't die. Don't raise your hand if you got reserve. At the end of that 40 days, he was hungry. And I want to make a statement so Holy Spirit can begin to plant a revelation on the inside of you. And this is it. Would you hear it? Our flesh is not our friend. Would you just write that down? My flesh is not my friend. Our flesh is an ally of the enemy. And apart from God's power, we don't have the power to control our flesh. Let me just say it again. Apart from Holy Spirit's power, you don't have the ability to control your tongue. Apart from Holy Spirit's power, you don't have the ability to control your thoughts. Apart from Holy Spirit's power, you don't have the ability to control your foot on the pedal. You don't have the ability to control your eyes, where you put them, the ability to control your mouth and what you stick inside of it. Let me tell you, apart from Holy Spirit's power, you don't have the ability. Let me just say what we know, and it's not a bumper sticker. Apart from Christ, I can do. Do you believe that? Let me give you a couple examples. And I just want to say this, first of all, those of you who know Romans, Romans says this: our flesh nature is diametrically opposed to the Spirit. In fact, it says it's rebellious to the Spirit. In fact, it says this: our flesh is hostile to the things of God. We don't have to go very far to find non-believers who are hostile to the things of God. But let me tell you, you start touching things in the flesh in a believer's life, they can get pretty darn hostile too. We've all done it. Don't you dare take that Twinkie away from me. Let me give you some examples, can I? When the Father wants us to get up early and spend time with him in his word and in prayer and listening to his voice, and the night before, in spite of what was going on, we set our alarm for 5 o'clock, it goes off, and we roll over and we reach and we shut it off, and our flesh is saying to us, awesome, let's get up. Let's go spend time in the Word. Let's spend time in prayer. Let's go. No problem. We get up and we are sharp and crisp and we're there. Can I ask you, how many of you, is that your experience every 5 o'clock in the morning when you get up? Let me tell you. Our flesh is saying to us, and we hear the voice, you don't need to get up. It's too early. I need the extra sleep. Just another 10 minutes and we can, and we roll over, and what happens? 1 hour later, we get up, we realize we're late, we're rushing out the door, and our time with the Lord never happens during the day. Don't raise your hand if that's ever happened to you. I'm not the only one. How about this one? I know it's 10 o'clock at night. Getting ready for bed. I know it's best not to eat anything after supper, but man, I'm just feeling like a bowl of ice cream would be great right now. Don't say amen, anybody. That ice cream, it is good. It won't hurt me. I'll just have a little bit. In fact, I tell you what, I will exercise more tomorrow to undo what that ice cream would do to me tonight. And that big bowl turns into 2. And later we go to bed. And we get our money's worth. Why? Because that ice cream goes into our arteries and does what it does. You might as well tape it on your hips because you're going to carry it. And do we exercise the next day? How about this one? I know it is wrong to have physical relationships before marriage. I know it's wrong. Not only did God say it's wrong and it's built inside of my conscience, my parents raised me saying it is wrong. And what happens if I do it and I end up with the wrong person and I end up sleeping with somebody else's spouse and somebody sleeps with my spouse and what? And on the inside of us, we have this thought when we're in that situation. It's like, you know what? I want that person to like me. I am so attracted to them that it feels good. Who's it going to hurt anyway? It's not going to hurt anyway. We got two consenting adults here. And by the way, everybody else out there is doing it. Well, isn't that the greatest reason to step across that line and do it? So what do we do? How about this one? Oh, I like that. I know I can't afford it. I don't really need it. But wouldn't that be awesome to have? In fact, I think I have a little room left on that one credit card. I think I have enough. And this will be the last thing that I buy. And so what do? Pretty soon all of our credit cards are full and we are panicking because we are struggling to make even the minimum payments that are 23.9% that will take us forever to pay it off. Can I just ask you a question? How many of you have ever read a credit card statement? How many of you have ever read it? I mean, really read it. I read one the other day. One of our credit cards come and it said this: if you make the minimum payment, it'll take you 127 years and 9 months to pay it off. And I felt like going, I guess I'll just make minimum payments and never pay it off. I'm going to die before then. Won't that be awesome? I want to tell you what you already know. Our flesh is not our friend. It is not for us. Our flesh is against us. And unless we have a power greater than our flesh, it will rule us and do nothing but steal, kill, and destroy. And we could talk about that all day long. At the end of that 40 days, and I want you to get this, Jesus was hungry, legitimately hungry. The Holy Spirit wouldn't have recorded it if it wasn't true. And so it is no wonder the first temptation the enemy came at him with was to gratify the desire of his flesh. And what does James say? Book of James says this: we're tempted only in the area of our own flesh. That's where we're tempted. Our flesh already wants it, so that becomes the temptation. The only difference is, when we have the life jacket of the power of the Spirit on us, now we have a power greater than our flesh and greater than the demonic working with our flesh. Do you know this, and I just want to say this clearly, do you know that if Jesus would have just spoken a word and turned that rock into bread, at the enemy's request, do you know that he would have never been able to go to the cross and pay the penalty for our sin? Just that one. Holy Spirit gave him power over his flesh. I want to say this. Holy Spirit gives us power in every circumstance, in every area of our flesh, to control our flesh and not let it determine what we do. I could stop right there. Most people hear that and either don't believe it, or if they believe it, will not exercise it. But let's look at where Jesus went. Would you write down number 6? In that point, the Holy Spirit gave Jesus the ability to control his flesh. Number 6, he gave him the power to recall Scripture. I want you to get this really clearly. Temptation and Scripture need to go hand in hand if we are going to walk in victory. If there is no Scripture attached to temptation, be ready to fail. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Would you just write that down? Don't look it up. Just write it down. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this: no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide the way so that you can stand up under it and not sin. Let me ask you, what is the way out? When the temptation comes, what is the way out? How is it we are able to stand against any and every temptation, whether we're in the back seat of the car, we're opening the fridge in the middle of the night, we want to cuss that person out in the middle of our workday? What is it that empowers us to stand against that temptation? Let's look at how Jesus did it. Or more accurately, let's look at how Holy Spirit did it to Jesus, so we'll know how Holy Spirit does it to us. The moment Jesus experienced the temptation from Satan to satisfy his hunger, not only did he give Jesus the power to control his flesh and not think about that rock being bread, but he instantly brought to Jesus' memory the Word of God. The exact weaponry that he needed to stand against it. James 4:7 says this, "Submit to God, resist the enemy, and he will flee from you." Let me tell you, if we are not resisting, we will fall. And let me also tell you, if we are resisting with the wrong weaponry, we will also not win. Our willpower is not a weapon that will bring victory in our life. I just want to say it again. If you are relying on the strength of your willpower to overcome sin, you have already lost. How many of you know an alcoholic? Just raise your hand. How many of you know somebody who's been an alcoholic? You ask any alcoholic when they knew that it was wrong to drink, what it was doing to their marriage, their life, their body. You ask them, just knowing it was wrong, if their willpower was enough to go, "I'm never doing it again, and alcohol's out of my life." Just ask them if their willpower is enough. If you think that your willpower is strong enough to overcome the addictions and the sin and the temptations in your life, we're deceived. Jesus experienced Holy Spirit giving him the weaponry that had the power to overcome the temptation of the enemy. What did Holy Spirit do? In that moment, he brought back to Jesus, brought back to his memory the exact scripture he needed in order to stand against the power of the flesh and the power of the demonic. I want to tell you what you already know. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is divinely powerful. In the spiritual realm, it is the ultimate power. No wonder, and let me just say clearly, no wonder the enemy doesn't want you in the Word, doesn't want you reading it, doesn't want you hearing it, doesn't want you learning it, doesn't want you memorizing it, doesn't want you planting it on the inside of you. Do you know why? Because if you ain't got it, you can't use it. If I was the enemy, I would make sure that as a believer, you have no time in your life to be in the Word and get the Word in you. And let me tell you bluntly, if I'm at work in the church, I'm pretty darn successful. Why doesn't he want us to do it? The enemy knows the power of the Word. But I want to tell you, if it's in us, Holy Spirit can do what he does. He brings to remembrance the moment in the temptation, exactly the right words and weaponry to resist. He did it with Jesus. In that moment, the Holy Spirit brought back to Jesus' thinking. And would you hear this? Deuteronomy 8:3. Man does not live by what? Bread alone. I just want to say this really quickly. Do you know there's a pile of teaching out there that says today the Old Testament is no longer relevant because when Jesus came, it's all New Testament? Can I just say to you, is it possible that the Holy Spirit might actually bring some Old Testament scripture in order for you to stand against that temptation in your life today? Is that possible? Maybe the Word of God is the Word of God, old and new. When Holy Spirit brings it up, it is divine, it is powerful, and it will do the job. Jesus said this before he left. When Holy Spirit comes, he will bring to your remembrance those things I have taught you. He will bring to your remembrance the word that you have put on the inside of you. That is his job. The word of God that is needed to resist and help us not fall, Jesus heard it. We hear it, and when we do, he empowers us to do the next thing. Would you write down number 7? The power to know what to say. The power to know what to say. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 10, verse 18. I need to read this. I'd like you to get it inside of you, because without seeing it, it is sometimes really hard to believe, and I'm trusting the Holy Spirit will help you grasp it even as we look at it. Matthew chapter 10, verse 17. This is a word that he was speaking to his disciples before he sent them out. But look at this. He says, be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to local councils, flog you in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and the Gentiles. Look at verse 19. But when they arrest you, did you notice it didn't say if they arrest you? He said, when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but what? The Spirit of the Father speaking through you. Let me say this again. It will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. How many times have you heard people say, and I'll say that, they go, I could never do that because I don't know what to say. They go, I could never go to someone and share my faith because in that moment, I would have no idea what to say. And so they don't ever go and share their faith. How many times do people say, oh, I can't stand up and pray for someone. I can't, because when I get there, I wouldn't know what to say. And it's because I don't know what to say. I'm not going to go and say anything because I don't know what to say. Or how many times people are asked if they could teach a little group of kids or they could, you know, spend time. I could never do that. I could never do that because I don't know. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to say. I would make a mess. And so do they do it? Let me ask you what the second greatest fear apart from death is. I'm doing it. Public speaking. Oh, I could never do that. I would just die. Well, that's okay. We'll just raise you from the dead at the front. We'll just carry on. Oh, I could never talk in front of that crowd. I could never. Can I tell you? Those are the words of someone who don't have a revelation of power that comes with a life jacket of the Holy Spirit. When Holy Spirit is in us, he will do with us what he did to Jesus. For some of you, this is all you need to hear today. It won't be you speaking, but God speaking through you. If we let him. He says this. Not only will I bring the right scripture to your mind, I will give you the right words the moment you open your mouth. I will give you the right words in the moment so that when you begin speaking, it won't be you, it'll be Holy Spirit speaking through you. That is what Jesus experienced in the desert. Holy Spirit gave him scripture, gave him the right words, and when he did, look at what happened. Would you write down number 8? He gave him power to speak and to resist with authority. Jesus opened his mouth and look at what Holy Spirit said. It is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. It is written. It is written. I want you to get this. When we read this passage and reread the dialogue that went between Jesus and the devil, I want you to get this. It was not Jesus speaking. It was his mouth, it was his tongue, but it was not Jesus speaking. Jesus did not overcome the temptation of the devil. Who did? Holy Spirit in him. And can I give you a little clue? If you know it's you speaking when you are trying to resist temptation, you are not going to win. Your voice alone carries no power to overcome the temptation. But when you submit yourself to Holy Spirit, you let him empower you to control your flesh. You let him bring the right word of God to you. You let him give you the right word. Then when you open your mouth and let him speak through you, using your tongue, your voice, look what happened when Jesus did that. The enemy left him. The temptation ended. Jesus did not sin in any area of his life. With Holy Spirit's power, he resisted the devil with the words of God, and he fled from him just like he flees from us. I need to ask you, because I love experiencing this, whether it's a phone call or in the counseling office or teaching or on a Sunday morning, when I open my mouth and I begin to speak and I know that it's not me speaking, can I tell you, in those moments, Holy Spirit is giving me words in the right moment that are being received in an amazing way. In fact, I've said this to you before, I can't tell you how often I have finished something and the end of it, I walk out of the counseling room, I grab a piece of paper and I write down what I just heard come out of my mouth. Have you ever done that? Because you know it was not you and you go, that was good. You get off the phone and you go, wow, Holy Spirit, that was awesome. And you write it down because you don't want to miss it. We see this with Jesus through his entire ministry. Holy Spirit speaking the words of the Father through him. It was true in the disciples. It was true with the Apostle Paul. It was true with the early church. Can I tell you, it is still true today with those of us who have the life jacket of Holy Spirit on us and in us. This morning, specifically in the area of dealing with our flesh and temptations from the enemy. Number five is this: Holy Spirit gives us the power to control our fleshly desire. For some of you, you needed to hear that to let faith build inside of you. And after we control the flesh, he gives us the power to remember the divine weaponry of the Word of God, where to use. Then he gives us the right words when we open our mouth. And when we open our mouth and we begin resisting the enemy, it is God speaking through us. And the temptation stops. Do you remember? People used to say this. I don't hear it much anymore. Do you remember when people used to say they did something wrong and they said, why'd you do that? And they go, the devil made me do that. Don't raise your hand if you've ever said that. The devil made me do that. Can I tell you this? That is a lie from the pit of hell. If all a person does is operate in flesh power, the devil will simply encourage our flesh to do what he wants, and we'll do it because our flesh just goes there. But if we are empowered by Holy Spirit, if we have the life jacket on, the devil doesn't have the power to make us do anything unless we give it to him. God's divine power is far greater than our flesh power and demonic power. One of the great lies of the enemy, and Neil Anderson said this in his book, Bondage Breaker, he goes, well, here's God's power, here's the enemy power. They're basically the same, and that's why there's this cosmic battle going on between good and evil all the time. Can I tell you the truth? And let me give you an example. Here Jesus is, filled with the Spirit of God, standing in front of two men who are filled with a legion of demons, 2,000 demons, and they are begging Jesus. If it was equal power, why would they be begging? And can I tell you how Jesus dealt with 2,000 demons? Because the Grand Canyon between demonic power and God's power, here's what Jesus said. 2,000 demons begging bondage to men. Here's what he said. Go. And what did they do? Like 2,000 rats, they scurried into the pigs and threw themselves off the cliff. Don't ever think that the demonic is equal with God's power. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Demonic is here, God's power is there. But our flesh can never resist and win. Requires this. Let me end by reminding you again of this truth. Holy Spirit empowers us to do what He did in Jesus, to provide us the way of escape when we are tempted every time. Do you believe it? Would you bow with me for a moment? Dana, could I have you come? Would you bow with me? Yes. Yes. Hang on a second. Let me get a mic.
This is highlighted in my Bible. I wanted to share this, so a perfect opportunity. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. The very last thing, and the very most important thing. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Just read two verses more.
Okay, it's all good. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins.
Two more.
Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail. Never fall, it says here.
You will never fall.
Yep. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
You just read the verses the series that we have been working on and we'll get back to about how to never fall. That is powerful. Would you bow with me this morning? Holy Spirit, I want to say thank you that you have come and given us the ability to not only hear, but to grasp eternal truths that have the ability to change our life. I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, that when you come and you fill us, that you empower us in every circumstance where we are being tempted by our flesh and the enemy, to be able to control our flesh and not give in, to be able to hear the divine weaponry of your word, to know that you will give us the words in the moment that when we open our mouth, it will not be us speaking, but you speaking through us to resist and to watch the enemy flee. Father, this morning I believe there are some in this place and some under the sound of my voice who have been struggling with areas of sin in their life, giving in to temptation, giving in to the lusts of the flesh. Father, I believe today, as they have heard your word, faith comes by hearing. That today you are imparting strength inside of your children to know that you, Holy Spirit, have given them the same power as Jesus. In that moment, they can say no to the flesh, resist it. In that moment, the scripture will come, they will hear it. In that moment, they will open their mouth and you will flow through them as they resist the enemy and he flees. Father, I believe today you are bringing breakthrough in the lives of many people. I believe today that areas of sin that have held us for years are being broken. And today, there is the hope of freedom, the hope of walking in victory, the hope of no longer giving in to the flesh, because the greater power is in us. So, Father, would you release a grace over every person in this place who needs a revelation that greater are you who is in us than he who is in the world and even our own flesh. I release an anointing of victory in this place today. Victory in our thinking, victory in our lifestyle, victory in every area. I release that anointing in Jesus' name, walking in victory. Holy Spirit, thank you. Your word tells us that every temptation we experience is common to man, but you have already provided the way of escape that we will not fall unhurt. We believe that today. We receive it today, and we will exercise it. As you bring it back to our remembrance, we are not alone. I want to give you a quiet moment this morning. I believe today that there are some who just need a quiet moment to come before the Lord on their own. Not going to ask you to stand, not going to ask you to raise your hand. Just a quiet moment to come and say, Father, forgive me. I have not used what you have given me. I have given in over and over and over. Today is the last day. I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me of that, break its power off of me, and empower me, Holy Spirit, to walk in freedom. Just take a moment between you and the Lord right now. Before we can ever experience the power of Holy Spirit in our life, we first need receive Jesus Christ, have him come and cleanse and forgive us of our sin and prepare us to be a temple that is holy for the Holy Spirit to come. If you're here today or if you're listening and there has never been a time in your life where you have prayed the prayer to receive Christ in your life, to forgive your sin, to cleanse you and right now that is the desire of your heart, I just want you to repeat after me and just say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose again from the dead. As an act of my will, I invite you to come into my life. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to fill me, to empower me, and to lead me. I invite you to be Lord over my life. If you have prayed that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family of God. Would you stand with me this morning and receive the blessing of the Lord? As I release the blessing, I am releasing the name of the Lord to be upon you, so that, as God said, He may bless you. So the Lord bless you today and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and today fill you with His peace and a revelation of His power in you. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody receiving said, Amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome week.